Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody, on this Thursday, the 25th day of April 2024. How are we doing? Well, quite the day at UT Austin. Don't ever forget that Austin is a liberal hell pit. And that the University of Texas itself, and that breaks my heart to say, it's the state capital of my state, and it's disastrously run and politically poisoned. And in keeping with the harmony of that, the university, and go Longhorns, hook 'em and all that, always, love UT culture and love UT and just, love it. But it is Exhibit A of the kind of political landmine that you can find in higher education. So both of those things are true. Against that backdrop, the University of Texas did exactly the right thing yesterday in shutting down what could have become another Columbia University-style nightmare. Now, this was a process during the afternoon hours as all of this unfolded. And I was one of the voices saying, okay, whoa, what's everybody getting arrested for? Because silly me, if you're going to arrest somebody, I actually believe there should be a reason. I need to understand why it happened, because you got guys on horseback, guys in riot gear, guys just, it got very, very messy. And my default setting, of course, is to back law enforcement. But if my eyebrow goes up and some of the quotes are a little weird, and listen, I've spent a lot of time, spent a good bit of yesterday, in fact, talking about the enormous benefit lately to Governor Abbott of leaning into conservatism. Isn't that the lesson of 2024? Purge your conservatism, lean away from it, abandon it, and you just absolutely get hammered by Texas Republicans, by voters, by conservatives. Lean into it and your life gets so much easier. Lean into it and you earn so much respect and so much love from conservatives who voted for you in a red state. So Abbott's been great. Yesterday, there were some quotes in the afternoon. People were saying, wait a minute, because Governor Abbott was talking about, we need to be arresting these people for anti-Semitism. Wait a minute, what? How do you arrest somebody for anti-Semitism? That's an attitude. That is, it's a bigoted, prejudiced attitude. But attitudes are not illegal in this country. A demonstration that I disagree with. I mean, let's take it away from anti-Semitism. Take it from the Palestinians versus the Israelis. That global land, regional land dispute. Whatever side you take, a rally that disagrees with my side, which is the Israeli side, a rally that disagrees with me is not inherently illegal. Is it possible that this could have been a peaceful protest and did the police come in a little too heavy-handedly? I had that question. And me having that question felt like Tucker just asking questions. Let's not make that comparison, because when I ask questions, they actually need to be asked. Not like, did we land on the moon or was it right to bomb Japan in 1945? My questions are good questions. The fact that I was asking them garnered some attention. There were some national Twitter feeds went, oh my gosh, here's longtime conservative host wondering if, the police are doing exactly the right thing in addressing the UT protests. And I said, that's not a disconnect at all. We are the people who believe in law and order. We are the people who believe in protecting free speech, even that we disagree with. And so I walked both of those lines with great precision. Thank you very much. So then some things came to light. A note from the dean of students, a message last night from the university president that enabled me to put my head on the pillow last night, confident and vocally supportive of let's not go with everything. There's a guy with a TV camera got knocked on his butt. Guess what? It gets messy. Not everything was perfect. Human system. Not everything is going to be perfect. However, the foundation for, the justification for the police response to this gathering, the moment the gathering began, was 100% justified. And I'll give you some of those. I'll tell you why here and like now. So just come on in and be a part of the opening half hour, if you wish. We're going to talk to our buddy Mike Gallagher, 7:35. We always do. Always glad of that. At 8:35, we'll talk to a former UN ambassador who's now all about Middle Eastern things and preventing a nuclear Iran, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Every once in a while, I just like to reach out and talk to a fellow Texas talk show host. Here's a guy you know well, fills in on the show every once in a while, the king of Lubbock radio, Chad Hasty. He'll be with us 9:05. Two reasons. Number one, he had Jace Yarborough on last night, and as will I, and it's this Senate District 30. Who's going to be Drew Springer's successor? Will it be Brent Hagenbu, who has apparently all the money and all the endorsements and seems to have dispatched that pesky residency thing, at least until Jace brings it up. But that just doesn't seem to be damaging him very much at all. So we'll talk to Brent. We'll talk to Jace. They've both been on the show, and they both will be again. But with this particular timing of Jace on with Chad Hasty in Lubbock yesterday, it comes on the heels of a debate that they had where I think Brent came after Jace. As if he was not a supporter of Governor Abbott farming all these illegal aliens out to all the blue cities. And at that point, Jace came back and told everybody that Brent's trying to tell everyone that he lives in a broom closet at his office and doesn't live in the district. So you got that. So I thought, let's just see how that went and what his thoughts are. And then, speaking of Lubbock, here's something that has echoes across various Texas cities. We are in the we're in the early voting phase right now for a lot of municipal elections all over DFW. Plenty of communities got some mayor and city council, town council, proposition this and proposition that, all kinds of stuff going on locally, which is good grassroots activism. Always fun to get involved in those. Up in Lubbock, hey, let's legalize weed. Hey, let's decriminalize pot. And that appears to be driving early voting like a cattle stampede coming down from the plains. I mean, sure, they've got important stuff going on in Lubbock, I'm sure, but college town, hello. Yeah, guns up and apparently toke up as well in Red Raider country. So all the potheads are streaming into early voting. And here's the thing. I was like, well, you know, let the people speak. Let the people speak. I'm all about letting the people speak. I'm also about obeying state law. This just in, pot illegal in Texas. No city can thwart that. Denton tried. It failed. Now Lubbock's going to try, and they too will. Ken Paxton will sue Lubbock at lunch the day after this passes, as well he should. State law prevails. Recreational pot is not legal in Texas. So your cute little town can't say, hey, man, let's legalize weed. No, you can't. You can't. You can't do that. Here is something we can do, for the moment at least, in Joe Biden's America. Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of this new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America, where our Constitution is honored, where our schools and public spaces are safe, where our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we protect the unborn and fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Before I get to UT and how that all worked out yesterday on the campus, shocker, Trump in the news in multiple ways today. The Supreme Court will hear his case about presidential immunity. And it's a big consistency check for all of us. And so I am in favor of having presidents be immune from mischievous prosecutions during the presidency after the fact. You just have to do that, because if you don't, then some yahoo, but you think, just hello, open your eyes, look around the country right now. Some yahoo political hack DA will torment, you know, a president of either party. You never can tell. And so that's why it's not because of my support of Trump that I believe the immunity case should prevail. Supreme Court arguments for that today. Trump won't be there because he's shackled to a table in Manhattan. However, as I've said, the courtroom is the campaign trail, and I'm only half kidding when I say he may win New York, because it's the only place he can be during the trial activity days, and he certainly is making the most of it. The other day, went up to the bodega and taking selfies with cops, and you know, in Harlem, getting chants of support from Harlem. It was awesome. It was absolutely great. This morning at like 5 o'clock, a couple hours ago, Trump up before the sun, well before, and went out and visited. He goes to friendly environments, construction site. It's kind of funny. It's in New York City. It's a Manhattan construction site. You know, probably some Union Democrat voters in there, or maybe not, or maybe they got shouted down with the I love Trump chant that emitted from that crowd as Trump in Midtown on his way to another day of court visited some construction workers and turned it into a campaign rally there in New York City before heading into the courtroom. Last Trump element, Truth Social, last night, President Trump writes, "Wow. Former AG Bill Barr, who let a lot of great people down by not investigating voter fraud in our country, has just endorsed me for president, despite the fact that I called him weak, slow-moving, lethargic, gutless, and lazy. Based on the fact that I greatly appreciate his wholehearted endorsement, I am removing the word lethargic from my statement. Thank you, Bill." So very, very awesome. All right. So as I said yesterday, as the afternoon unfolds, it's like, OK, and the default setting for everybody was, yeah, cops. Yeah. Shut it down. By the way, that's my default setting, too. But folks started to ask questions and I thought they were pretty good questions. So I started to ask them, too. And that is, what is the charge? Where did this go off the rails? And Governor Abbott, God bless him, was talking about, you know, yeah, we got to send people in, got to fight this anti-Semitism. It's like, okay, yeah, anti-Semitism is not against the law. Rioting is against the law. Making threats is against the law. An unauthorized gathering is against university rules. And so just, you know, help a brother out. Throw me a bone, man. Tell me what the reason was for the police action. And a couple hours later, we got it. Got it. And so here it is, enabling me last night to say it is time for us to shelve our concerns about this. Time for us to have confidence and support for exactly what happened. The Dean of Students at UT sent out the following yesterday before the event. The tagline is notice canceling planned event. The University of Texas at Austin must first and foremost act to protect our educational mission, allowing the activities and operations that support our mission to proceed. At the same time, we are steadfast in our support of free speech. Our policies and rules help define the lines between these objectives and shape our response to planned protests. The Palestine Solidarity Committee student organization's event, Popular University for Gaza, which is planned for tomorrow, this was day before yesterday, has declared an intent to violate our policies and rules and disrupt our campus operations. Such disruptions are never allowed and are especially damaging while our students prepare for the end of the semester and final exams. For these reasons, this event may not proceed as planned. Simply put, the University of Texas at Austin will not allow this campus to be taken and protesters to derail our mission in the ways that groups affiliated with your national organization have accomplished elsewhere. Please be advised, you are not permitted to hold your event on the university campus. Any attempt to do so will subject your organization and its attending members to discipline, including suspension. Individuals not affiliated with the university and attempting to attend this event will be directed to leave campus. Refusal may result in arrest. So, what did this group say? And it's footnoted, and it's in the Dean of Students' message. UT Austin registered the student organization Palestine Solidarity Committee, and here's their Instagram post. We are all SJP. Our universities have chosen profit and reputation over the lives of the people of Palestine and our will as students. The supposed power of our administration is nothing compared to the strength of the United Students, staff, and faculty committed to realizing justice and upholding Palestinian liberation on campus. In the footsteps of our comrades at Rutgers, Tufts, and Columbia, we will take back our university and force our administration to divest for the people of Gaza. Oh, they're not done. UT Austin registered student organization PSC Instagram post April 23rd, encouraging people to wear face masks in violation of one particular rule for identification purposes. Reclaim our space. Class is canceled. Meet at Greg Plaza to occupy the lawn. Bring blankets, food, face masks, and energy. This is how the Dean of Students saw this as an obvious, preemptive opportunity to say, nope, we're not going to permit this. And the President University underscored all that in a message to the entire university community last night. University of Texas 1,000% justified in shutting this nonsense down ahead of time because they had ample reason to believe that Columbia-style chaos was about to unfold. Well, they blanked around and found out, as the saying goes. 724. Oh, we got a couple of big musical birthdays today. Ella Fitzgerald, born this date.
The way you wear your hat.
1917. Passed away back in 96. Can't take that away from me. All righty. 866-660-5759. Ahead of newscast and our visit with Mike Gallagher, we're in Denton. Jason, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Good morning, Mark.
Hey.
First of all, I agree with you that there is no First Amendment right to disrupt university operations, and the university was correct in shutting it down before they had a Columbia-style problem there.
Mm-hmm.
However, I have a big problem with what Governor Abbott tweeted about this. He made a tweet that said, anti-Semitism will not be tolerated in Texas. Let's just all agree anti-Semitic speech is condemnable and should be condemned. And he goes on to say that any student participating in a hateful or anti-Semitic protest should be expelled. Well, that's illegal. That's a violation of the First Amendment, and I think that we as Republicans and conservatives should acknowledge the rightfulness in the university ensuring that their operations could continue as normal, that they were right in doing that, while at the same time condemning the fact that what Governor Abbott seems to have endorsed here would be a blatant violation of First Amendment rights. What, agree with that speech or not?
So here's where I am on this, because we are the Words Mean Things talk show, and I think what the governor has here is a precision of language issue. I don't for a minute believe that he's going to go policing attitudes on campus and shutting people down for thought crimes. But the some of the tweets in question, anti-Semitism will not be tolerated in Texas, period. What exactly does that mean? Students joining in hate-filled anti-Semitic protests should be expelled. Okay, the point at which expulsion should happen, the point at which consequences should happen, is when you break the law, when you threaten somebody, when you violate a university rule, which this event clearly did. So I think you're walking the line correctly. I think rather than rear back and go, Abbott is a free speech fascist, I just think he needs to phrase things better, and I trust moving forward he will. But I am the words mean things guy, and my eyes and ears will be peeled. Thank you, sir. Now I'm going to, speaking of my ears, let's all put those to work and listen to Nikki Whaley in the newsroom and our buddy Mike Gallagher on the other side, 732.
Change your mind. Take a chance. I'm the first in line. Take a chance. Honey, I'm still free. Take a chance on me.
Am I right? Big ABBA fan, Teenage Mike?
Probably.
Listen, you know what? What a spectacular point you've made, because the dirty little secret is, from ABBA to Barry Manilow, who's on his supposed final tour, he's like 88, something like that. The stuff that you could get your buns taped together and stuffed in a locker for saying that you liked in high school in the 70s, these were great. They were great records. The disco records were great records. We have an ABBA birthday. You got one in four chance. Is it Agatha, Bjorn, Benny, or Annifred?
Well, I don't know any of their names.
I'm teasing.
ABBA. Agatha. Happy birthday, Agatha. No,
it's Bjorn Ulvaeus. I am Oli, you are Sven. But if you go to, here's what, you know what you need to do? A friend of mine did this, because you love Europe and you love stage shows. And this is the future of musical stage shows. I mean, part of it is like the Michael Jackson, Neil Diamond, Broadway recreation, where you got to find somebody pretty talented to do it. Or you can do, what's the stupid thing called? There's a show in London where you go and you pay a bunch of money. ABBA Voyage. Oh, wow. You go and there they are. Holograms. I mean, there. Oh, wow. You had a hologram experience where the hologram of Celine Dion came and stood right by you in an aisle or something like that, right?
She started out on stage with a hologram, and then before you know it, she's in the audience in person.
How does that work? Isn't it obvious if you're sitting somewhere, isn't it obvious that it's not a three-dimensional? I mean, clearly. I mean, how good is hologram technology these days?
No, you thought she was behind a curtain. I mean, it was like she was behind a scrim, and you're looking up at the stage, and you thought, oh, that's kind of cool. She's back there, and she's up on the stage, and she's singing. And then I noticed a little movement right to my right shoulder. I was on the aisle with Peg and Joey. And I look up, and there she is. I'm like, and she sang to me. She was standing right next to me.
At what proximity?
Like 3 feet away.
No,
I'm not kidding you.
But obviously, at that point, you could move your hand through her like a ghost.
No. The hologram was on the stage.
Right.
And you think she's up on the stage. You thought that was really her.
Right.
And then they do a lighting change, and she's standing in the aisle in the middle of the audience singing. And she was next to me in the audience.
Actual her.
It was really her. She was in the aisle.
She used hologram technology to heighten her own concert experience.
Well, yeah, there's a scene where it's a great big production in Vegas.
Right,
and then she's up and she's up on stage as the hologram at one point.
Right, okay.
But then
as
you're watching, all of a sudden the lights go down up, and there she is.
Little David Copperfield action.
Voyage,
though, they're obviously not there. Can Elvis and the Beatles be far behind where they are able to recreate as they do with ABBA in the 70s? It's like seeing them in 1978 or something like that.
With
and
AI,
it's sold,
anything's
sold
possible.
Out every day. Precisely. Right.
It's like driving up to the Wendy's drive-thru and talking to AI.
Did you see my tweet about this?
Of course I did.
Okay.
I retweeted it and I said, when you're right, you're right, because I love it.
Okay, God, I do too. And so now here we are, anti-worker talk show guys, the common man. Imagine the last 50 times, all of you, that you've driven up to a drive-thru. You go, yeah, I'd like the what a sandwich combo and the fry, and they go, No, please. Can I just have like the what a sandwich combo? And that's the last 50 times I've been to any drive-thru. Now imagine driving up to let's go with Wendy's, because that's the story, and telling the speaker what you want. It hears you. It speaks English. Your order is processed with letter perfect precision,
clarity,
and off you
precision.
Go. The tricky news is it's AI that did it, and we just fired somebody. And it's like, my heart breaks. I get it, but is this like the buggy whip industry? I don't know.
No, let me give you the reason why it makes all the sense in the world. And I know it's one town, it's one city, it's one.
Oh, Wendy's. It's coming. I want it.
There's a Wendy's in St. Petersburg, Florida, that I go to all the time. It's over on 4th Street in St. Pete.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely the most disgraceful disaster of a fast food joint you've ever seen in your life.
Why do you?
They
keep
never
going?
Have. They never have. Well, I stopped because they finally stopped. But look, this is an American tradition. You go to the fast food place. You get your burger, your fries, whatever. They never have food. They never have. They never have food.
That could be an obstacle.
They'll say, Mark, you go to the window and you sit for 15 minutes to wait, and then they say,
"We don't have
welcome to Wendy's. Sorry, we don't have any meat today. We don't have any burgers."
Wait, literally, where's the beef? Clara Peller literally asking, where's the beef?
But there's a serious point to this. I want you to follow me here.
Right.
Or they'll say, we don't have sodas. We don't have drinks today. I'm like, you're at Wendy's. You don't have what? You don't have fries. We don't have salads. So finally, I just couldn't stand it. I would keep going like an idiot. I would like Charlie Brown with Lucy in the football. I mean, they never, and there's never anybody in there. There's just a couple. They've closed the dining room during COVID.
Yeah.
Well, here's the point.
Yeah.
They can't get workers, Mark.
Yep.
They don't have employees. And this is happening all over the country.
Yep.
Now, I will point out, for what it's worth, somehow the Chick-fil-A a block away is glorious. They never have any problems. They got plenty of smiling, happy
lying around
workers.
The block.
But at the Wendy's, they can't hire people. They can't find anybody. They don't have anybody to man the store. I mean, they should shut it down. They really should shut it down. But here's what's happening. Well, guess what happens, Mark, when you can't find people to hire?
Yeah.
You go to AI. You have a drive-thru that works well, and you don't have to worry about
that
paying somebody $7 an hour.
And you're,
you know?
Well, there's the thing, and that's sort of the other angle of this. Part of the reason that AI, if you and I run a fast food chain, why it's pretty tempting to go with AI at the drive-thru, A is we can't find people. You documented that well. B is we may have no trouble finding people, but these stupid states are saying that you need to make $20 an hour for flipping burgers.
There you go. You're going to get a guaranteed minimum hourly rate, and they can't afford it. Don't want to pay for it, so they're going to go to AI. And guess what? Hate to break it to you, it's more efficient to use the AI drive-through anyway, like you said. So I mean, this is a mess of their own making.
Yep.
Listen, I hope. Tell me you saw Trump's tweet about Bill Barr.
You retweeted it. That's how I saw it, and I just read it. Do you have it in front of you? Would you like to give it life
again? Let me read it. Here's what because Bill Barr has been effusive in saying he doesn't like Trump.
We
obviously
know Bill Barr's huge problems with Trump, so everybody always asks him, okay, then who are you going to vote for? Who are you going to vote for? As if these idiots think that and you are an idiot if you have trouble with Trump, but that's not going to make you go vote for Biden. You're gonna.
Many of them are. But many of them are.
So Bill Barr
You think Mitt Romney's going to vote for Donald Trump?
Exactly right. Good
no,
point.
And there's a whole bunch of those kinds.
Yep.
There's a whole bunch of those for those Republicans who say they're not going to vote for Trump, and you know they're not. So we know Bill Barr doesn't like him, but he's going around saying, "Of course, I'm going to support him.
Of
I'm going to vote for him. I have to." Here's what Trump tweeted: "Quote, wow, former AG Bill Barr, who let a lot of great people down by not investigating voter fraud in our country, has just endorsed me for president, despite the fact that I called him, quote, weak, slow-moving, lethargic, gutless, and lazy. Based on the fact that I greatly appreciate his wholehearted endorsement, I am removing the word lethargic from my statement. Thank you, Bill. MAGA 2024.
That's how you do it.
I mean, you know, one thing you say, you can't dispute about the guy, his epic sense of humor.
Yep.
Every time I've interviewed him or I've spent time with him one-on-one, and incidentally, we're due to have him on the show in the next week or two, so that'll be fun to get President Trump back and sit down and talk to him about his campaign and about his trial and everything else.
Yep.
But he is one of, without a doubt, one of the funniest men you'll ever meet. you think of Don Rickles meets Sam Kinison meets, I mean, I'm not kidding you. I'm just talking about the one of the funniest, Martin Short. It's that quick, lightning quick humor, and he's self-deprecating.
And his boundless energy. He had to be up at 4 o'clock this morning in order to make an appearance with construction workers at about five something in Midtown Manhattan, where they sang his praises almost literally.
We love Trump.
Yeah, just
love Trump.
Yep.
I mean, and meanwhile, the beast is cornered and wounded. They are pulling crap out of their you know what. So let's look at Arizona. New poll comes out. Bloomberg poll released this week. Trump is up 5 in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Cue the indictments.
Yep.
Suddenly, the attorney general, who incidentally has quite the role to play with election processes in Arizona. She won by hundreds of votes. Remember, she was the one that withheld thousands of votes.
Yes.
So she was all part of this, a lot of election shenanigans in Arizona.
This is Chris Mays, the Arizona
Chris
attorney
Mays,
general.
A blatant, all of a sudden, boom, now let's have radical and unprecedented criminal charges against a whole host of people in
Giuliani,
Trump's orbit.
Mark Meadows,
Jenna Ellis, Bora Epstein, Mike. I mean, now, and what are the charges for?
Yeah,
trying to follow the law. It's not illegal to question an election,
or
Mark,
to have an alternate slate of electors ready to go just in case the House does the right thing or the Supreme Court does the right thing. And, of course, those people are all called fake electors, as if they are violent insurgents poised to subvert democracy. It was to bolster an accurate democracy why any of these states had alternate slates of electors ready to go.
Here's what's important to know. There's precedent for this. In 1960, of course, it was razor thin between Kennedy and Nixon. Hawaii was closely contested. Hawaii certified Nixon as the winner. Democrats claimed otherwise. They assembled their own slate of electors, and they submitted their votes to D.C. to be counted. And here's what's important. As Charlie Kirk pointed out last night on social media, it worked. After initially certifying Nixon's electors, Hawaii's recount concluded Kennedy won the state by 150 votes.
Mm-hmm.
The state's governor retracted the Nixon certification and submitted a new one in favor of Kennedy. Kennedy votes were only counted because the Kennedy electors acted before the courts had ruled. This is garbage. These are garbage people. Chris Mays is corrupt. Just as corrupt as Alvin Bragg and Tish James and all the rest of them who are weaponizing everything they can to try to stop people from voting for Donald Trump in November. I don't think it's going to work. Have you seen Biden's new proposal for the capital gains tax?
It's brutal, Mark, for those who are achieving success, and you are being brutalized for your success. That is what Democrats
And it's not even, we make it sound like, well, it's just a lot of wealthy people. Baloney. You buy a house when you're a young person, and then 50 years later you sell it for a substantial profit.
Mm-hmm.
Biden is, and you're going to get taxed on that profit. Believe me, I just went through this last year.
Bit.
I am wiped out. Mm-hmm. I'll be spending a lot of time at the Wendy's these days to try to make, because I got crushed with taxes this year. You know why? Because I sold a property in Texas, in Keller, Texas, and thanks to Christopher Waters International Realty, I got a great price on the property.
The good news is you made a profit on the property. The bad news is here comes the IRS.
Here comes the IRS, and with right now it's about 25%. You know, 25. So I saw a profit, and I got dinged 25% to go to Uncle Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Biden wants it to be 44.6%.
Sure, why not?
44.6% capital gains tax proposal from Biden. Now, the last president who tried to do that was Jimmy Carter, and it didn't work out so well for him.
Please let that play run again on a stage near you soon.
Tell me you saw Grandpa Joe say 4 more years pause.
Yep.
Ron Burgundy.
He's reading a speech. We'll both find it.
I got it.
You
do the setup, and I'll play it.
He's reading on the teleprompter. He says, look at all the things we've done, and look what we can do if we have 4 more years. And at that point on the teleprompter, it says in parentheses, pause, which will allow the crowd to start chanting 4 more years, which they do, but Joe takes the teleprompter a little too literally.
4 more years. Pause.
4 more years.
Oh, my God. He literally said pause.
I'm Megyn Burgundy.
Kelly. I know. I'm Ron Burgundy. Yeah. Am I Ron Burgundy? Megyn Kelly tweeted last night, It might have just cost him the election. I mean, it takes him.
I dream of it. People's forgotten Mark, by tomorrow.
Mark, and you don't know that. People see that and they say, wait a minute.
I know they do, but you know the Mark Davis definition of political damage? It's when something happens and it makes people who love you not love you anymore. Is there anybody who's. And listen, maybe I need to revise and extend my own remarks. The hardcore Biden fan, the hardcore Trump hater, they don't care about that. We're the only people who do. But in the mushy middle are folks who are just saying, well, I don't know. Yeah. But then they take a look at his obvious cognitive decline and they go, you know, that's not good in the presidency. And, you know, I had money during Trump, so maybe I vote for Trump.
I think people are going to there are people who might even love Biden who say, you know what?
Nah.
I love the guy. Nah. God bless him.
Or maybe they just stay home. Maybe they don't turn into Trump voters, but maybe they can't. And maybe they stay home.
Or maybe they vote for Donald Trump. Maybe they look around at these college campuses.
I can dream.
And incidentally, and can I just, parting shot, don't get squishy on arresting these punks, Mark.
Oh, no, no.
Lock them up. Greg Abbott is right.
He is 100% right, but words do mean things. Anti-Semitism as an attitude is not illegal. We are the free speech people, so phrase it properly. And as the UT officials did, lay out the case of exactly why they shut the event down before it even happened, because it looked through their own language, through their own threatening language, like it was going to be Columbia 2.0. Yeah.
That's right. I'm going to New York today, and a friend of mine last night said, go to Columbia.
Do it.
I got no desire to see
this. Oh, do it. I want to see Mike at Columbia. I need YouTube videos of Mike at Columbia. Fire up the Mike Gallagher text line, 1-800-655-MIKE. Should Mike go to Columbia? Weigh in now.
I want to. Well, I'll be there tonight, and I'll be there through Tuesday.
Dude, you went to Israel in a flak jacket. I think you can go to Columbia.
I was in a war zone, and I'm not kidding you. I'd rather go back to the war zone than see those filthy, miserable anti-Semites.
Oh, I really want you to go. All right. Go to the text line, but tell everybody what they want to do.
800-655-MIKE. Let me know. Love you, too. So I'll see you tomorrow from New York City.
Here we go. If he makes it, there are going to be stories no matter what. We can't wait to hear them. Can't wait to hear today's Mike Gallagher show today at 10. Right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
In this world of ordinary people,
I am taking host privilege and doing a double dip for the way, 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 way back machine. We already did Ella Fitzgerald's birthday, but I'm doing it again.
I'm glad there is,
because this is one of the greatest albums of all time. 1954, Songs in a Mellow Mood. Ella, and I'm Glad There Is You.
Of overrated pleasure.
Ella Fitzgerald, born this date, 1917. This is where you get ridiculous. Hey, Ella Fitzgerald would have been 107 today. Yeah, okay. No. You start to dial that back after a while. But God bless Ella, and we'll let her take us out. And into the 8 o'clock hour, here comes some more of your calls. Here comes some more of my thoughts up against yours and the big mixing bowl of topicality. I love it. Happy Thursday. Back with you in a moment on 660 AM, The Answer.
Peace out.